As I looked over this scripture this past week from the ninth chapter of Nehemiah to this part that we came to this morning in verses 7 through 12, I thought about this a little bit and thought about all that was going on as the people had met together. If you remember rightly, now they had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and they had come back from captivity, and now it was time to renew the nation spiritually. So they gathered together and they celebrated together in the seventh month, the month of Tishri. If you remember, as they read from the law for so many hours, the people wept because they remembered and were reminded of all the sins that they had committed and why they were where they were. But they were told by the Levites and the leaders not to weep but to celebrate, because they realized that although God could have destroyed them, He did not, but yet He saved them and brought them back to their homeland. And then on the 24th day of that same month, they gathered together and they were fasting and they were wearing the sackcloth and had dust on their heads. And remember, they confessed their sins before God. And we talked about how when they met together in this time of worship and they came before the Lord, the first thing they did was confess their sins to God. And we remember rightly what was going on as the people joined together to worship. They were setting the wrong rights. They were remembering that they had taken the throne away from God. They had put themselves on the throne and they had disobeyed God and thought that they knew what was best. But now they realized it was time to put God back where He belonged, on the throne. They confessed their sins to Almighty God and now were adoring and worshiping God for who He was. Just simply for who He was, looking back on how He used His qualities and His attributes to save His people. And they acknowledged that He was the Lord God, Yahweh, Jehovah God, this God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and how God ordained this nation. Many of you know people in this world who we call know-it-alls. You know how they are. They seem to know it all about everything. They're the people who can tell you what you're doing wrong, how you should be doing things, how everybody's doing things wrong, but yet their way is the right way, and everybody should be doing things their way, and how they know it all about how to cook a certain thing, how to do a certain thing. They just seem to know it all. And in some instances, they can even tell you the future in their own mind, can't they? They seem to say, I know what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, when in fact they don't, because nobody does. Because nobody is omniscient. Nobody knows everything, nor do they know everything that's going to happen, except God. I am constantly amazed in my own personal spiritual life and journey with God. I am amazed by what God knows. First of all, He knows everything that we strive to learn. We strive day in and day out to learn about things and become intellectuals and knowledgeable about life. Well, God already knows all that stuff. But we're trying constantly to learn more and more. To learn how things grow. To learn how things work. To learn why things work. God already knows everything about that. God knows every place on this earth. This past week, my family and I took a drive up in the outer parts of Sullivan County into some little villages and towns that I had gone through years ago when I was a little boy, and I could remember certain parts, and I wanted to go back because as a boy I thought they were so beautiful. And as we get back there, I remember my kids this past week saying, this is in the middle of nowhere, as we went out there. And as we went, there were little towns, maybe some of you have heard of these towns, the towns of Shunk, the towns of Lincoln Falls, the towns of Estella. They were once booming lumber towns. And there was this little town called Ellenton, which you know what that struck up in our family, as Ellen stood beside the sign and we took her picture that she has her own little town. And in this town is the Ellenton Chapel, so she has her own little chapel. And in this town were people that we didn't even know existed until we had been there. God already knew all those people. He knew every place. He knows every place on this earth. And He knows everyone on this earth. Every single person that is on this earth, God knows. Inside and out. He knows all about them. He knows their ways. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their strength. And I'm amazed even more at how much God knows about me. Because as I go along in life, learning more and more about myself, I'm realizing God already knew everything about me. And if I would have only just looked to God in the first place, maybe I'd know a little bit more about myself and not have to go through some of the trials and troubles that I do day in and day out. I'm amazed that God knows everything, that He knows every place, that He knows everyone, and most of all, that He knows me. He knows all of these chronologically forward and backward. When God stands up, He knows all about the future and He knows all about the past, chronologically. And He knows all these because He sees all these. This is what we call omniscience. Knowing that God is omniscient. This word comes from two Latin words, omnis and sciens, or sciens, however you pronounce it, which means omnis, all, sciens, meaning knowing. God is all-knowing, and He knows all because He sees all. Let me give you an example of how that works. From my house, I can see all the way down to the bottom of the field, in the creek, where the creek is. Okay, I can see everything that's in the way on the path from my house down to there. If I were to set a turtle down, or better yet, let's talk about it, a colony of ants, and they were to travel from my house to the creek, it's going to take them a while. They can't see all that's in the path ahead of them. But I can, because I'm looking down from a different perspective than they have, and I can see all the problems they're going to have along the way. And as they get on that journey, I can see their past and what they've been through, and I can see their future, what they're going to go through. And if I don't want them to struggle with a certain part of that journey, I can remove something from their past to make their path a little easier. And that's the best way I can describe God seeing into our future, that God knows our future because He's already there in our future. He sees all things, therefore He knows all things. In the same way that we look in the sky and we see the clouds coming down across the valley, we know it's going to storm. In the same way we look at a beautiful quilt and we look at the stitching, we can tell whether it's hand-stitched or whether it was done on a machine. And I'm amazed by what God knows because of what God sees. And this is a part of God that I struggle with sometimes. Because I realize that God knows me. He knows everything about me, including the good and the bad. I realize that, yes, God is with me there in the good times, but I realize that God is right there with me when I am rebelling against Him and sinning in my own life. I realize that when I'm sitting there watching something on TV that I shouldn't be watching, God is there and knows that I'm watching it. I realize that when I click on a place on the internet that I shouldn't be going, looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at, that God is right there with me when I'm clicking on those places, knowing where I'm going. You understand what I'm saying by that? It's a scary thought sometimes. It's a part of God that we may not like. But it's part of the greater gospel and goodness of Almighty God. He knows all things because He sees all things. I think the psalmist put it best, David, when he says, Lord, You've searched me and You know me. You know when I sit down, You know when I rise up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before I even speak, You know what I'm going to say. Where can I go from Your spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go to the heavens, You're there. If I make my bed in the depths, You're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me and Your right hand will hold me fast. David realizes that there's nowhere we can go to get away from God. or where we are not in the presence of God. Secondly, I'm amazed by what God does in light of what He sees and knows. And this is the good part, the part that we like to love about God. We know that God sees us. We know that He's there when we're doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. But yet, when we look historically at this God that we worship, we're amazed by what He does in light of what He sees and knows. He should destroy us in an instant. But yet what He does is He saves His people and He defeats His enemies. I might add, He's always victorious and successful in what He does because of what we call His omnipotence. That He's all able. Omnipotens, all able, having unlimited power or authority. There isn't anything that God can't do. There isn't anything that can stop God or get in His way. He's all able. He sees, so He acts. He sees my sinfulness, so He acts to save me. It's like the farmer that says, it's going to rain, I need to plant my crops today. Or the person that says, it's going to rain, I need to take my clothes down off the clothesline. Or like the child who says, it's going to rain, I need to put my bike away. In light of what God sees in us and sees in the world, He is constantly acting to save His people. And I can know this and see this in the facts of history, in what He has historically done for His people. And when we see His people in Nehemiah, they acknowledge now that He is Yahweh God who belongs on the throne. Not only are they getting off the throne in their confession, they're putting God back on the throne and saying, you are the Lord God who found Abraham's heart faithful. You made a covenant with him. And they say, you are the God that saw the sufferings of our forefathers in Egypt, and you heard their cry at the Red Sea. So what did you do? You sent miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials and all the people of his land, for you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. And you made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. Look at what they're doing with God. They're exalting God as the omniscient God who saw what was going on with His people and knew how they were being treated. I hope this is a comfort to you this morning, knowing that God sees what you're going through in life, and He knows what you're wrestling with and what you're dealing with. But you know, it's important that we put Him back in control of our lives on the throne. And remember that because He loves us and we're His people, like His people then, He saves us. As Nehemiah says, you divided the sea before them so that they passed through it on dry ground. You divided the sea. You saved your people. You provided a way of salvation for them to live. And also, not only did you save your people, but you destroyed their enemies. You hurled their pursuers into the depths like a stone into the mighty waters. By day you led your people with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the way they were to take. Omniscience and omnipotence, all seeing and all knowing, all able and all powerful. He saw what was happening to His people, and He saved them. He saw what they were suffering. He knew how they were suffering. And He destroyed the enemy that was persecuting them. I want you to think about your own lives personally today. What it is that's enslaving you. What it is that's causing persecution in your life and tribulation in your life. To know that God, Yahweh God, Jehovah God, is the God who sees your suffering and knows that you are suffering. Why does He allow us to suffer so long? Is the question we always get.
I don't know, but I do know one thing, that suffering provides or brings perseverance. Paul spoke about this in the New Testament, that God allows us to be strengthened through our suffering, but He will not allow anything to come into our lives beyond what we are able to handle. In other words, He will not put too much on us that we are destroyed. He will come in and sweep down and save us, because He is omniscient and omnipotent, that He sees, that He knows, and He's able and willing and powerful enough to save us. What a God we have. It's time we put Him on the throne. It's time we stop saying to ourselves that we're on the throne, that we can handle it, we can deal with it, that everything's cool. I'm cool. I can take this. I can deal with it. No, we can't. Time has proven this, that there's only one person in this world, in our lives, that can deal with anything in our lives, and He is Jehovah God. And if this is the God that I'm worshiping, and the God that I've come to know and trust and love, I can be assured that He knows everything about me. He sees everything about me. He sees my good and my bad, and He acts accordingly in my life the same as He has historically. Because He is the Lord God, Jehovah God, Yahweh God, the self-existent, all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing God. I think sometimes we tend to water that down a little bit when we talk about God, and we agree that God knows everything. That God knows everything. I want you to think about that. He knows everything, every place, everyone, and He knows me. What a God. What a God that He would do something like saving me. Who am I that God's mindful of me, the psalmist said. Who am I? Who are we that God should even take a second look at us? This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we worship. The God who loves His people and saves His people. The God who knows everything, every place, everyone, and knows you and I. And the God who saves us and defeats us, our enemy. I hope that means something to you, not just this morning and this hour, but this coming week and these coming days of our lives. That this is our God, and He is truly the Lord God. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving.